And we're going to continue with this thought. St. John chapter 21 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto the Lord, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Amen. You may be seated this evening. As we've came into the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 21, we see that this is afterwards, after Jesus had showed himself. And we see that Jesus is on the seashore dining or cooking, and they suppose that it is a ghost. And they see that it's Jesus, and Peter jumps off of the boat, and they swim into shore, and there Jesus is with fish on the coals. And when the Bible teaches us that when they came to this area, that they dined together, they communed together. And I'll say this to you this evening. It's good for people to sit down and eat and fellowship together. I had to put all things aside and put all arguments aside and to sit down and have a meal together. I'll say this, it brings a tightness of a family and a closeness of a family to sit down as a family at a meal. And the Bible teaches us in John chapter number 21, the Bible says this, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias and was on this wise showed himself. Now, I can't help but think this evening that as Jesus is standing there on the seashore, and they begin to see Jesus from the distance, and they get off of the boat, and he tells them they've been casting on the wrong side and to cast on the right side their net, and they begin to drag it in. I can't help but to sense a sigh of relief that Peter seen Jesus. And this time is different than any other time. After they had dined, the conversation, Brother Junior, was strictly between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus simply asked Peter, Lovest thou me? Now I'll say this to you this evening. Do you love the Lord? Boy, I know it all say, yeah, preacher, I love the Lord. But we understand in the context of the Scripture, the reason Jesus simply asked Peter three times was because Peter denied Christ three times. And so Peter had opportunity to redeem himself. And Peter here, he simply responds, Lord, you know I love you. Boy, the second time Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says, he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says Peter was grieved. Now, my wife a lot of times will say, do you love me? I'll say, sure. How many of you ladies get a response like that occasionally? You can be honest. I'll say, sure, I love you. And then she'll say, Rusty, she says, no, do you really love me? And I'll say, well, you know I love you. And then she'll say, no, do you really, really? And you know what I want to begin to think? What have you spent money on? I really, truthfully, I'm thinking, Brother Bill, why is she asking me the third time if I love her? Boy, don't you reckon Peter was sitting here in the hot seat and Jesus comes on the scene the third time and he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says that Peter was grieved, which I believe on the inside he was torn and he was shaken. And I believe that Peter began to see a different aspect of this relationship. The Bible says that Peter said, and he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Then in verse number 18, the context of the scripture takes a new turn as Jesus speaks, "Verily, verily." So it's an open conversation before everybody else. Peter had an option to redeem himself of redemption and answering, "Lord, you knowest I love you." Peter was grieved, but he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." This evening, I guarantee you and I, we'd say, "Oh yes, I love Jesus." But there was something that went on in this relationship. He told Peter the first time, he said, "Feed my lambs." He said, "Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs." The second time he tells Peter to feed my sheep. The third time, yet again, he tells Peter to feed my sheep. Do you realize this evening that for us to say we love something, there has to be a physical action of love. Boy, it would have been something if Jesus says, "You know what? I love you, but I'm not dying on Calvary." How did God show His love? Jesus died on Calvary for our sins. How did Jesus show His love? He shed His precious blood that you and I could be born again. And He's simply asking Peter, "How far will you go for me?" That is our question tonight as we look into Peter. I want you to think about this man named Peter. We're going to turn a couple of places, but if you'll go back with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew, we got to have an understanding of Peter's direction. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We see the introduction of Christ. We see the introduction of Peter. The Bible says, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Can I say this to you this evening? When you first met Jesus, you knew something was different. When you first heard the name Jesus and you heard the gospel presented and you seen a preacher or you seen a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was somebody who had a testimony, you could tell there was something different about this man named Jesus. And as he passed by on the seashore that morning, he looked and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Now I want to say this to you this evening. I guarantee you tonight, if I went down that aisle and I looked at everybody going down through there and I said, "Brother Bill, follow me and I'll make a fish, make you a fisher of men," Bill would say, "Okay, that sounds good. You have fun with that." If I went down this aisle, I'd say, "Chuck, follow me and I'll make fish. We'll make fishers of men." Chuck would probably say, "All right, I'll go with you for a little while, but I've got to go home. I've got to go to work in the morning." And I guarantee you, if I went down this aisle, Johnny would say, "Preacher, you on your own. Leave me alone." Gwen might say, "All right, preacher, we'll go down here and we'll be fishers of men. We're down by the river. Let's go a-fishing." Isn't it amazing that simply at the command of His voice, two men forsook their livelihood and immediately started following Him? Without question, without doubt, without wondering, listen to me, they didn't phone their cousin and say, "Hey, this fella's walking by the seashore asking us to follow him. What do you think we're to do?" They simply left all they had and went after Christ. Can I say this to you this evening? It would do you and I some good to forsake all that we've got and go after Christ. You say, "Why is that?" I want you to notice something about Peter. Peter was fiery in the New Testament. Peter was one that was quick to anger. He was quick to words. He was quick to war. And Peter sometimes was from, I guess we could say, on my end of the spectrum, he was kind of emotional moved. If it was something that he disagreed with, Brother David, he'd let you know. If it was something that he didn't think was right, he would let you know. He would go out of his way. He was rash in his thinking. And say, "Preacher, what do you mean by all that?" I want you to notice in Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus says this, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, nor flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He said in verse number 18, "I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can I say this to you this evening? there is some depth in Peter's relationship. Now in Matthew chapter 4 to Matthew chapter 15, chapter 4, he was following Jesus. Chapter number 15, he is the future of the church. And then when we come to John's Gospel, chapter number 21, Jesus has already said he's going to build the church on you. He's already said, follow me. And then he begins to ask Peter, lovest thou me? Through this, Christ seen Peter cut a soldier's ear off, seen his denial. I know this evening we're a good Baptist church, because if I ask how many of you would deny Christ, we'd say, oh, not me. When they were in the garden praying, and the soldiers came in, and these men fled, and Peter was hiding outside the judgment halls, and one would say, you're one of his. Peter said, oh, no, I'm not. Isn't it amazing that through the New Testament, Peter is often referenced? You know what I find even better? Is a lot of your Catholics would say that Peter was the first pope. But then they totally disagree with all their beliefs that the priest or the pope cannot be married. But yet Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. He was married.
Yeah.
So he forsook all else and he follows Jesus. And what an adventure he goes on. He sees people get healed, Brother David. He sees the water be turned into wine. He sees the 5,000 fed. He sees all the people get healed. He sees the move of God. He sees the reviling. He sees the followers. He sees all that. In the very end, Jesus asks, lovest thou me? Preacher, why do you say all that? Because at the very end, in the moment of everything we do, the question really remains, do we love the Lord? Do we love the Lord? When somebody asks us to help around the church and you're mumbling and grumbling because you're doing something at the church, Jesus is asking, do you love me? Do you love me? You see, we often look at everything different.
Yeah.
So why is that? In this service, you're not doing it for me. Not doing it for the choir. You're not doing it for Ron Baptist. You're doing all your service for the Lord. Do you know what our purpose is? To feed the sheep. To witness to the lost.
Amen.
To bring you into the fold. And Jesus is asking these questions and it's driving deep in Peter to the third point. The Bible says, yeah. And he was grieved.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he grieved? I want you to notice what happens after Peter acknowledges this. Go with me to the book of Acts this evening. Acts chapter number 2. Peter begins to preach. You know, you go all the way back to the book of Matthew. And you study through the life of Peter. Who would have ever thought, Brother Junior, he would have been the one that would stood and proclaim. If you look in chapter number 2, you'll see the first message of salvation being preached. You'll see that it wasn't a 4-hour message. It wasn't a 2-hour message. But it was about 40 verses. In verse number 41 of chapter number 2, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine Peter's excitement? I mean, the first time he preached, let's just say the congregation was 5,000. 40 verses, 3,000 people get saved. I can't help but think at the very end of that, Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. I'm trying to feed your sheep. I can't help but think that Peter looked around at all the others and said, I had no idea in Matthew chapter 15 when he began to tell me upon this rock I'll build my church that I was going to be the one that would tote the gospel, that I would be the one that would be persecuted, that I would be the one that was crucified up down, upside down. But I do it all because I love him. You want me to tell you why Peter was a mountain mover? He loved the Lord. Not only did he love the Lord, but his love had action.
Yeah.
Preacher, I could tell you I love you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But if I'm always grumbling at you, never nice to you, and I won't even talk to you outside of here, you'd really question whether I loved you, wouldn't you? Miss Betty, I seen her at Walmart several months back. And I could have easily just walked right by her and she'd have never even knew I was there. I said, hello, Miss Betty. And I know what she was thinking. Who is this weird young man talking to me? Didn't you, Miss Betty? I caught you off guard. I had a sweatshirt on and a ball cap. She had no idea who I was. And then she looked at me and she said, I had no idea who you was because I'm used to seeing you in a shirt and tie. You know, if I told my wife I loved her, but all I ever did was never talked to her, never associated with her, never fellowshipped with her, never done anything, Brother Chuck, she'd have every right to question what type of love I had. This evening, you say you love the Lord, but how do you show God you love Him? See, Peter was a mountain mover because he had action in his words. He was fiery.
Amen.
We need some folks that are kind of fiery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about wild and rambunctious, but I'm talking about power under control, meekness, that are willing to feed people, that are willing to go above and beyond, that are willing to sacrifice their time and willing to sacrifice their effort, and at the very end, willing to sacrifice themselves for the namesake of Jesus. What'd Peter do? If we read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it teaches us that when it came time for Peter to be crucified, they crucified him upside down because he was not worthy to hang the way Jesus hung. That he requested to be crucified that way. And Brother Junior, I can't help but believe that at the very end of Peter's life, when those hammers were ringing out and he was hanging on that cross, that he said, Lord, you know I love you. I've tried to feed your sheep. Lord, you know I've loved you. I've tried to work for you. I've tried to do it all, and here I am hanging on a cross. You know where our issues are at? Somebody looked at me funny, so I quit going to church. Somebody didn't shake my hand, so I'm not going to be nice. Somebody did not speak to me, so I'm going to fall away from God. I want to say this, how deep is your love? If you were to sit down in a room tonight with Jesus, He already knows.
Yeah.
Peter told him, he said, thou knowest all things.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be honest and say, Lord, there sure is more I could do. Lord, there is more that I could get done. Lord, you know I love you, but maybe I failed you on this side.
Yeah.
How would we be a mountain mover? You say, preacher, what do you mean? We need some folks like Peter. Yes, he messed up. Brother James, he messed up. I can't help but believe in my heart that every time Peter heard the rooster crow, Rusty, I can't help but believe it, but that the devil come by and said, I told you so. I told you so. Let me ask you something. How many of you tonight have got a reminder of where you used to be? You've got something that you pass by, and boy, it brings back those memories. And the devil just wants to rub your face in it. I can't help but believe that every time Peter stood to preach, the devil come by and said, you denied him. You denied him. But I can't help but believe Peter said, I told him I loved him. I redeemed my time. And I'm not going that way anymore. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Miss Jody comes and gets a hymn of invitation this evening.